everyone, welcome to Zahid's Journal. This is the first ever Journal Zahid episode in Bahasa Inggris. So today I have Afan here with me. Afan is a content creator, YouTube content creator, and also he has his own podcast show on his channel. He's invited big name YouTubers like Ali Abdal, Tech Author, Josh Newman, I have the list over here, and Jonathan Morrison, and a lot of others. And can you guess how many subscribers he has? He has 1,100 subscribers right now. Now, I'm not saying this to have a dig at you, but I'm saying this because to a lot of people, having 1,000 subscribers, they feel sometimes that they have nothing and that 1,000 subscribers is not going to take them anywhere, that they can't do anything with it. But the truth is, with willpower and also like with the confidence and the bravery, you can in fact bring about like bigger changes and do bigger things that you previously thought was possible. In Afan's case here, he's interviewed a lot of big name YouTubers that I don't even dare to touch. And from him, we're going to learn how he built that confidence, his creation story, and also how to approach the more technical side of it, like how to approach people with big names, what kind of email should you write, or should you write any email at all. We're going to see his approaches to that and learn how we can implement that into our content creation workflow as well. So Afan here, he's in India right now, but he grew up in Saudi Arabia. He has an interesting story, and you just finished Ramadan, Salamat Idul Fitri in our language, I think in Eid Mubarak. So
Eid Mubarak.
it's been a challenging Ramadan indeed. How was it for you?
Yeah, it was different. It was really different. But like last year in 2020, we had our first lockdown in India. Mm. And sadly, we have our second lockdown now. Me and my sis, we are here in India. My mother and my dad, they are in Saudi Arabia. So the family is split for the first time now. It's a totally different Ramadan. The routine, as usual, I was not sleeping at all in the night and working in the night and going with the prayers. And I was just, the whole schedule just gets reversed in Ramadan. So that was my Ramadan summed up.
I'm wishing you guys all the best. And also in India, how is it right now, especially in regards to the COVID wave?
Sadly, it's terrible. It's really terrible outside.
In your area as well?
Alhamdulillah. Me and my sister and my family, alhamdulillah, we are good.
Well, hopefully you guys stay safe and India overcomes the challenge. Now, in regards to content creation, I want to know more how Ramadan impacted your content creation, like the YouTube side and the productivity in regards to content creating.
Yeah, so basically the whole cycle just got reversed where I was producing videos in morning. Like I used to wake up on 5 and 6, like at that time I used to record videos because there wasn't a lot of vehicles going in front of my house. So that was the best time for me to record videos so that I get less background noise. But now it's reversed up. I was recording videos, I think in midnight, where it's actually really better, but I wouldn't recommend it for a healthy approach to life. So I was recording videos in the night and working for my freelance jobs in the night. Just the basic routine being reversed.
Excuse me for speaking bahasa Indonesia. Now, to my viewers, tuh teman-teman, banyak sekali di video-video sebelumnya katanya kalau misalnya nggak bisa bikin video tuh karena di luar kamarnya itu ada suara motor yang ngeng-ngeng, terus ada ribut kayak background noise. Tapi ternyata di Afan juga kayak begitu ya di India. So in India there's also a lot of like background noises and motorcycles outside, but you have found a way to overcome that. That is basically just by choosing a good time or the best time in regards to, so that you can have clear audio and have like the most frictionless experience in filming and editing videos and doing all the content creation related stuff. Now for me, yeah. I think I would like to point out to like the listeners now, and perhaps you can also share your opinion about this if you may. I think in YouTube you don't really have to submit or commit yourself to publishing or creating videos every single week for the whole year, but you can actually use your YouTube. You can actually mold your YouTube content creation. Do you think there is a misconception in content creating that you need to be a full-time content creator in order to be successful?
No, I think there is one pure example. A very favorite YouTuber of mine, his name is Mark Rober. He's a NASA scientist and he makes one video per month. And that's it. He's been consistent for almost 3 years, producing only one video per month. And his videos rack up millions of views. The reason, I think, is first and foremost, there's an intrigue right behind, okay, what's he going to make next coming month? And always the concept, the storyline, the editing, it's always perfect. Now, there are people like that. But like just like Ali mentioned, like for new creators, it's more about quantity than quality. But if you have reached to that post, like another example, I think a very popular example is Matt Diavela. Matt Diavela used to make 3 videos per month, and now it's boiled down to 1 video per month. And the simple reason is now he's able to do more high quality videos, more better videos once a month, and he's getting enough views that he used to get for 4 videos. The simple reason is people are more connected to him now, and it's more personal. The videos are getting better, so people are waiting for him. So yeah, it's totally possible if you want to grow on YouTube. It's not just about, you know, working day and night, working every weekend for your videos to get published. There are other ways to, you know, have this once a month, work, you know, much more easier in a process way and produce content and be able to be recognized on YouTube. It's totally possible.
Yeah, I think there are like 2 very popular approaches to publishing or making a living out of YouTube. One approach is like the one that I'm trying to apply right now, and perhaps also you see this in content creators like Ali Abdal, is that I try to make weekly videos of at least good enough quality to be out on YouTube. I wanted to do this because I didn't want my YouTube channel to feel like it's heavily produced. I try to bring quality and improve production quality every time, but I don't want to make it feel like you guys are watching like a news show or that it's been produced in like a photo studio. I wanted to make it feel more homey, although with like all these production equipment and things. And another approach is like what in the global scene you see creators like James Janney who or Kurz gesagt, who would upload videos every once in a while, but once they do that, it's always a banger. You can't have that approach. In Indonesia, it's probably like Agung Hapsah who does that. But that's what the approach that I'm taking. It's whichever approach you want to take, which suits you, go do that. But for me, my approach is just, like you said, for starters, quantity. And that's what I did, try to publish videos. Once you gain the traction and you can like invest in better equipment and video production, then you can start worrying on the quality once you kind of like cross that line. I think a very popular advice on YouTube as well is that you need to publish your first 90 videos will be like ugly. So just publish it right away. Once you get through that, then you can stop worrying on the quality. But Afan, in your case, what I see from your YouTube channel, it's, I think for people in developing countries, especially with like the, in Indonesia as well, to make it more relevant, let's say, content creation is more challenging because you are very often limited to equipment and also options that you can have. Let's say if I was like in the UK, there are a lot of options for me to like rent or to do this. It's just more flexible. Not saying that it's easy, but it's just more flexible. In comparison to a lot of developing countries, it's probably not as easy. So I think I saw that in your YouTube channel as well. When I watched your video with Ali Abdal, then you used a webcam camera, right? But now what you're seeing right now, as you're seeing on the screen right now, look at the quality of his camera. But he built that from like scratch. You can watch the video after this. I wanted to know your challenges when it comes to content creating, especially in regards to equipment, because I think people really think about this a lot.
So one statement that I would put out there is gear does matter. But here's the twist onto that point, that single line is. In the beginning, it doesn't matter.
All right.
Because what happens is most people think that they should be starting off perfect. But okay. When I look back onto Ali Abdal's interview, I cringe a lot. I regret many things that I have, kind of done in that interview. That was the first time I was interviewing someone on video, and that was Ali Abdal himself, number one. That's one thing. And number two was I was using my mobile phone, So that mobile phone was that terrible. Yeah, and not even my webcam. I'm thankful
mobile phone,
to
right,
Allah that I didn't use my webcam, or else he would have just exited out of the interview. So, and now that I look back, and you know, we have the Jonathan Morrison interview, mm-hmm. and then I compare that to Ali Abdaal interview, I feel really happy with the progress within 1.5 years. And I think measuring true progress is important. So, you know, mm-hmm. upload the terrible quality videos, upload the terrible scripts and edits. But when you look back, you're going to feel happy seeing that there's a progress in you. If you start out perfect, every little tiny detail should be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And you come here with your 100th video, you're not going to feel a lot of development in scope. So it's okay
mm-hmm.
to start with terrible gear. And then once you have some, you know, income from some stream, or after some time, you can invest in your gear, and then you're going to see true progress in your YouTube journey. And that's what matters. It's like true progress. And then you reflect upon your own self. You see true progress in the way you speak with people, you script your videos, you edit
mm-hmm.
your videos. It's all in the way it's going through a progress and like seeing through it. That's the thing that should matter to a creator.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what matters to me still today.
I see. So like you said, gear actually does matter, but at the beginning, as long as you just have the most fundamental and basic abilities to film a video and have people be able to hear the sound, and in some cases you don't probably don't need that, but as long as it can just fulfill its basic requirements, it should not matter at all. And now in your case, I really relate to you when you said that when you watch your past videos, you just feel a sort of like embarrassment, and you feel like, oh, I should have done this, it could have been better, and things like that. But I think with any YouTuber, their past videos will somehow like cringe in a sense. In my case, I can get myself to watch like my videos from a year ago, because when I look back at it, I just see a lot of like these flaws that now, as with experience, I am able to notice. By the time I didn't. So, but my approach at the time is that no matter what it is, I just need to publish and let people give that feedback. And this is the privilege of the beginner. As a beginner, do you feel that you have more room to make mistakes of fun?
100%. Like, there's this one thing I believed when I began, like, from zero, as you can literally post garbage. And there's no problem in posting garbage, and people are gonna say,
uh-huh.
yo, that's garbage. And you're gonna say, okay, how to fix this garbage? And you're gonna get some input, and you can make as many mistakes as you want in the beginning. It doesn't really matter in the beginning. But once you have a certain platform now, okay, even though 1,000 is a little number, small number compared to millions, it is
mm-hmm.
still a big number for me. So what happens is now, okay, everything should go through a check process, everything should be perfect. But I edit videos for other people, which are perfection, but I keep myself somewhat toned down. Like, I don't use a lot of transitions, I don't use a lot of graphics. The simple reason, like you mentioned, like you know, you upload once a week, and you can edit more, you can put more effort, and you can do more. But the reason we stop doing more is, what happens is, where's the sense of relatability of, you know, okay, he's giving this homey vibe, and I'm trying to give the same homey vibe. And that's, in homey vibes, we make mistakes, a little mistakes.
Yeah.
And we don't have to make it a perfect documentary.
Even
that's okay.
I remember when I like first started, I was so self-conscious. Like, I would say, okay, which part of my hair is popping up? Which part of my background is distracting, even though it's not? And it's just all these little details that we needlessly pay attention to that happens in like the beginner stages. I think the sooner we realize this, and the sooner we just think that, okay, it doesn't matter if I have like some nose hair popping out, I'm just going to publish it, because no one's going to care about that anyway. I think that's the approach that you did, was it?
Yeah. That was the approach.
So the privilege of the beginner, guys, when you're a beginner, you just publish videos, you have this freedom that bigger content creators don't have. So just maximize it. And even right now, I have your channel open right here. I'm seeing like a lot of your videos still are like my channel intro of you 10 seconds with a phone, a lot of like Far Cry gameplays, GTA 5, computers and things. You can watch on his channel the history of Afa and Syed. Now he just has look at like really I appreciate well I actually admire the quality disparities between your first video and like your current videos, because it shows the growth. And I think we also see this in content creators like MKBHD. Let's say when he watched his old videos, his older videos are still on his channel right now. One of which is his first 100 subscribers.
Yeah. First 100 subscribers.
Yeah, it took him like a few hundred videos, I think, to get to 100 subscribers, and look at him now. So yeah, it does take some time to get to that point.
100%. All right, like, now I have something on that. So
he, yeah, sure.
At that time, where people worry about, right now everyone's worrying about algorithm, right? Everyone's worrying about YouTube algorithm, click-through rates, all this stuff, their reach and stuff like that. But back then, the algorithm, it was catering towards people who push out more videos. But still, you see, when MKBHD made that 100 subscribers videos, he published a huge amount of videos, and then he was able to get 200 subscribers. Back then, when there were not a lot of tech channels, back then when there was not a lot of competition. I think that's a great lesson for us. Like, this YouTube thing, we can't put out, you know, expectations tied to it. The only best thing we can do is to make the video we want to make, and you know, just not pray that it gets recognized by the algorithm. Just make it the way the algorithm likes. The algorithm likes your viewer to stick throughout the video. It doesn't want anything else. If I'm watching Zahid's video, for instance, and I watch it 100% through, then YouTube is gonna recommend it. That's as simple as that. So your attention should be where, okay, how do I make my viewers stick throughout the video? That's the only thing.
This may confuse some people, because earlier we said that quantity as a beginner is more important.
As a beginner.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about that?
It lies in the word. It lies in the word, as a beginner. As a beginner, the reason why we are making these 90 terrible quality videos is we get input on how to make our better quality videos. It's not about, okay, in these 90 videos, I'm going to blow up. I'm going to get a huge amount of video and views. Your intention is to learn how to make videos. See, there are many courses out there. And one that we took was Part-Time YouTuber Academy, where we went how to shoot videos, everything. We went through everything, keyword searches, all the stuff. But what lies in the beginning is the quantity itself, so that we can learn what we need to make. How we need to make, because we cannot learn it by any, you cannot learn how to make your type of video. The only way to learn to make your type of video is by making it multiple times and realizing what you actually like. And that's the reason why we are working towards making these quantity videos in the beginning. Then you can, you know, slow down and do one video per week, and then you can focus about, okay, how do I cater to this? How do I cater to the audience, to the algorithm? But in the beginning, it's about, you know, bringing yourself in front of the camera, bringing in yourself in front of this huge platform called YouTube. That's the reason why quantity in the beginning. Now, there are a lot of books on these billionaires and millionaires and, you know, the big people in the industry who got big and they have their books, their documentaries and stuff like that. But what underlying reason is, there's always this one turning point. A single turning point in their lives, and most importantly, these turning points came in when they started, you know, going out, reaching out. And how did they reach out? So they reached out to someone, other big people. So they reached out to, how did they reach out to big people? So this guy, his goal was to interview all the big people that he gets inspiration from. That include Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, all the big people that comes on your mind, he was interviewing them. So I thought, okay, this book is good. I love the billionaires that they have. Okay, amazing stories. But yeah. I was thinking, okay, this is 2021. And now it's time for the digital third door. So I'm working towards this project. I'm working towards the third door for the digital age. And who inspires us? Okay, when I wake up, I'm not inspired by, let's say, Warren Buffett, even though he's a great guy and I take some hint of inspiration, but that's not the personality we are looking at. We are looking at internet personalities, right? Mm-hmm. Like one of them, Ali Abdal, we are looking towards an internet personality more than the actual big billionaire personality. The reason is there's a sense of relatability between the viewer and Ali Abdal, and that's the reason we get inspired from Ali Abdal. So I was like, okay, I want to build towards a library of things so that anyone who's thinking about creating content, being, you know, having their internet businesses, having anything related to internet that churns out money in the long term, I wanted to work towards that. So I think I wanted to know how did these guys do this. I mean, we know that they churned out videos. Okay, everyone did that, right? Everyone is making videos, but how did they get successful? So, and believe me, with each and every episode, there was different reasons as to how one creator got successful, even though they were all on the platform, they were all doing consistent stuff, but there's one third doorway, one different way that they took for their success. And that's why I was like, okay, I have to interview these people. So I wrote down a list, and I still have many people that I haven't interviewed yet, and I'm working towards interviewing them. And this list included people that I get inspiration from. So I simply message and like, okay, we're going to go for the way later, but we're talking about the inspiration. So I got inspired because these people inspire me. So I went onto the list. I see, okay, Ali Abdal, Jonathan Morrison, let's go with MKBHD. That's a long way, but that's there on the list. That's there on the list. And I thought, okay, I want to interview them, know their story, and help other people with their story. Because what happens is most of the time on the podcast, I'm astonished myself as to how that happened to them. It's not about just the audience. It's about how I'm astonished. Okay, this happened, and that's the reason why they were able to get their success. So it's different with each YouTuber. It's different with each creator. It's totally different with each and every internet personality. And that's the reason why I wanted to interview these people. And I still want to interview a lot of creators. And it's not just about the size, by the way. I realize it's not just about the size or the amount of subscribers these creators have. There are many other small creators that I've collaborated with, which give this little hint of inspiration, you know, something that they are doing different, just something. And I'm interested into why they are doing this something different. And that's the reason why I invite them on my show. That's how it works.
Ah, I see. So what I notice is that what is encouraging, it's basically just reach out to people that are ideal according to your values and where you want to go in life. I think if you want to take it to a context outside of content creating, that works as well. At the end of the day, you just have to like really look at people. What kind of people do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? And look at the people with who possess the characteristics, the ideal characteristics that you want. And then listen to their stories, see how they made it. And also from them, you can then find or discover your own turning point. That is amazing and fun. Thank you so much. All of us have people that inspire us. We have like our role models and things. But it's different when you just admire them and when you want to reach out to them. You fear a lot of sort of like rejection and things like that. I'm definitely sure you face that as well. But how was your method to overcome that? And what exactly did you do?
So I actually, all of the guests that I've reached out to, it's all on Twitter. I think there was one case of Josh Newman where I reached out on Instagram. But let's talk about the Twitter case. So the more I've researched about this, the process is there are two types of tweet that you can do for your role model, the internet personality that you get inspired from. Number one is value. You provide some sort of value. So, you know, for instance, you could follow Ali Abdal's podcast and you want to get see how to get Ali's attention, right? And I hope Ali doesn't get angry on me if he sees this, but here's the process. So you want to get Ali's attention, so what you can do is go on to his latest video. If you love his videos, you go on to his latest videos. Then what you do is, here are the 5 lessons that I learned from this Ali's this video, this one. and then you can put out a Twitter thread on it, like, okay, these are the five lessons and this is why the five lessons matter, and you tag him. So what you're giving is you're providing value to Ali's followers. Ali doesn't have to do anything. He could just like your tweet. He could just like your tweet, and you're getting attention from both Ali, and Ali is getting the help by, you know, sorting down his content, and he's providing that to his followers without doing anything. It's just a like or a retweet. So basically, we are getting his attention rather than just spamming, okay, Ali, please hire me. Ali, please look at me. I think everyone, all of the big YouTubers, they get hundreds of thousands of messages and emails like that.
Yeah.
So instead of that, you provide value. You provide value for a lot of time. And people expect it in a very quick form. But Ali and I, we the podcast that we had, it had a story. It had a story. We'll talk about that. But the next type of tweet, the one I talked about, is value. Next come is the ask. So when can you make the ask tweet? Is once you build a little amount of relationship. And by little, I mean...
On this, I think then, hopefully as to not confuse the viewers, I think we need to also try to be as genuine as possible. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Genuine.
Because I think for big YouTubers, it's somewhat easy for them to distinguish when someone is trying to, let's say, like, leech off of their platform, because you somehow like see this on YouTube comments and everything.
100%.
But what Afan is doing here is he's trying to provide a value to the YouTubers, so, or his role models. In this case, value could be like you watching Ali Abdal's video and then making your summary, your own summary of it, and then publishing it onto Twitter. So this provides value for Ali Abdal because it helps his channel gain more recognition. And there are also like other ways to give creators value. For me, sometimes I get like sent things that there are things that I'm interested in. For example, at one time I was so interested in like this one Korean drama, and then an Instagram account reached out to me and wanted to send me like shirts. And then I took that, and I think that helped kind of like imprint her presence or their presence in me. And I think that's what Afan is doing. Basically, Afan's presence, whether you realize it or not, when if you give value to YouTubers, even if they don't say anything, you're basically imprinted in their minds. Because, well, we're humans as well, and we're like celebrities, like Rihanna, or we're One Direction, of these big names. We remember these things, these little things that we do, even though we don't, let's say, express it. Okay, so giving value to creators is more towards like the polishing the firearms, the pistols, but pulling the trigger is the asking part, and that's what's sometimes like really heavy to pull that trigger.
Yeah.
How did you do it? The ask part now.
All right, the ask part. So, oh my God, we have got Ali Abdal pasted all over this podcast. So. We can take lessons from the whole Ali Abdal story itself. So in the beginning, I didn't provide any value to Ali Abdal, and I was just like other 100 kids in the line, where I was emailing Ali Abdal saying, Ali Abdal, please come on my podcast. Okay, see what happened was Ali's assistant, who's now you know as Elizabeth, now has a successful YouTube channel, by the way, which is awesome. So Elizabeth was the one that replied to my email saying that Ali is not available up till August, maybe possible. So there's a maybe, there's August, and by the way, it was May or June, and she's giving me a date on August. So I was like, oh, why didn't this work? And then Ali goes on to Twitter and like, so he posts this tweet saying, I really don't like when I want to meet certain people, but your assistant declines a lot of it. So I said, we were supposed to meet Ali, but your assistant declined. It's like, meet? It's lockdown. And I was like, nah, on a Zoom call. And it's like, yeah, let's do it tomorrow. So it was totally random. It was totally random.
That's awesome.
I'm here and I'm going to interview Ali Abdal himself. I've got less than 24 hours. I've got shitty equipment all over the place. I didn't sleep almost half the night figuring about what I'm going to ask Ali Abdal. And because I knew this was going to be big. And this is what happened. It's mm-hmm. genuinely what happened is it you can't just go ahead and ask sometimes. It doesn't work. So that's why the safer route is if you really mm-hmm. love them, if you really like them, and if you really get inspired from them, provide the value. And then the thing is that that saved me a lot of times to reach out is have really, really low expectations. I think, by the way, I talk with Matt D'Avella. I talk with Matt D'Avella. I asked him if he can come on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I saw
but,
that, yeah.
How
did
that
go?
There's a lot of time. The thing is, Ali Abdal saw my videos. Matt D'Avella saw my videos. And he liked the videos. But mm-hmm. he's like, I cannot do it. I don't have the bandwidth right now. I don't know the meaning of it. Bandwidth means they don't have enough time. So there could be stuff like that where you could be this close to the creator, like this close. You can chat with him. You can mm-hmm. send videos to him and he would reply to the videos. He would see your content, watch your content and still not get a podcast. And that's okay. In the beginning, I was this mm-hmm. guy who was expecting everything from
that's
the world,
okay.
which is terrible. I learned it the way that having low expectations, working to just put your head down and working towards what you want and stuff. All of the stuff will fall in line. That's mm-hmm. really important when you, you know, ask, do the ask part. It's low expectations, provide them value, and then just have a sense of relationship with them, man. They're humans. People, most of the times, people think of them as numbers, and that's the reason why they don't collaborate enough, is because people think they are collaborating because of numbers. To avoid that, be a friend. Be an actual friend. Don't try to leech off of them. Just be a friend and that will work.
That is amazing. And yeah, at first it may appear like random luck and just you just got extremely lucky when Ali Abdal replied to your tweet while you just replying like casually for fun, right? But beneath that, I think you are actually providing him a lot of value. Like you said, you are it's like you're building genuine relationships and you are entertaining him. You're giving him like a story that that he'd like to get to be a part of. And yeah, I think in at today's social media culture, that happens a lot. Like we are basically the meme. We have like this obsession with like the meme culture, right? And that feels like a meme and that's somehow like valuable, right? It's just something like these random lucks and these random stories.
Yeah, value is not just terms of helping them. Value is also in terms of entertaining them.
Yeah.
If you can make them laugh,
well
that's
said,
freaking
yeah.
value.
Well, that's true. That's really awesome seeing how you reach out to these people. Now, I think we have seen how a fan did it. So I think if we try to summarize it, it's just basically first, he tries to look for people that inspire him and then make a list out of these people. Who would he like to shoot an interview with? And then next step is he tries to provide these people value. That is, let's say, by doing them a favor, sharing their videos, just basically giving them or putting them on a good light. I think that's providing creators a value. And then, obviously, you want to try to do this as genuine as possible. And once you've done that, comes the asking part, the pulling the trigger part. And like you said, just shoot it out. Because at least even if you get rejected, there's like no regrets. Like Afan said about his story here with Matt D'Avella, he was so close to him, but kind of like got rejected. But
Matthew.
It's fine because he had the chance to build the relationships. And rejections, they may feel painful at the beginning, but look at Afan now. He's happy with that story. It's a story that he can share. And I think that's what we're going to learn as well by just pulling that trigger and hoping for the best and being okay with like rejections. That is awesome, Afan. Thank you so much. Now, I would like to come to the last part of today's podcast, and it's more of the practical or technical side of content creating. That is content creation on a budget, because you start a YouTube channel. I think when I watch your older videos, it's clear that you have limited budget, right? And this is observable in a lot of beginner content creators as well. Especially now, if we come from developing countries, it's also harder to get like the luck or the ability or the flexibility to like, let's say, get a camera for a cheaper price, or to basically have these like privileges that you can get by living in a first world country. But that shouldn't be a problem, because we don't really want to compare ourselves to and force ourselves to reach the level of success that big creators have, but we want to kind of like set it for ourselves. And one of the keys to that is by working with what we already have right now. We can't really change where we come from, what kind of things we have, but we can like make the best out of the equipments that life gives to us, including recording and content creating equipments. Do you have any tips, Afan, on content creation on a budget?
So I made one video titling How to Sell a DJI Under $50. Mm-hmm. That's one of my video where I completely go over through stuff that you can get under $50 and start a podcast right from there. I personally started with my dad's laptop, mm-hmm. 0.3 megapixel camera, webcam. And thank God, the technology has advanced so fast that we have so many powerful cameras in our pockets now. I think the best way to begin is obviously a mobile phone. Take the mobile phone, look over all the YouTube videos that you can to learn how to master your mobile phone's camera. There are a lot of videos, and I'm gonna send you some links when this goes live. Mm-hmm. That you can put that in the description. The thing is, you can get a lot out of the mobile phone camera. You just need to tune it out, and that's one part. You already have a camera in your pocket, number one. Number two is lighting. It's mm-hmm. super, super important to have lighting, even if you're on a budget. I actually prefer to go with the DIY lighting. So you could just mm-hmm. Buy mm-hmm. a light, put some paper in front of it, and then put it right there. It's completely, you know, it's not expensive at all. You can just make it at your home. So you have to be creative with the stuff you have. Then you can start recording. I mean, getting a lav mic, you know, you can mount it here. You have your phone. You can buy a really cheap tripod. These are the three key points. Then the lighting. You already have much better setups than people, you know, spending $1,000 in like 10 years ago. That's the beauty of mobile phone cameras now. It's amazing how far they have come. So use that, and that should be more than enough as a beginner.
That's amazing. In fact, I think when it comes to this as well, it tends a lot of people when we say that you should just start with what you have, the common responses that I see is that, oh, it's easy for you to say you have all these things, things are going well for you. But I think when you actually realize, or you zoom into the majority of creators' early stories, they all begin somewhat similar to that. Let's say they begin with like what they have for MKBHD. He began with like this camera that he had, and the quality was not very good. And you did as well. And for me, I did as well. Before this channel, I had like previous 10 channels that didn't work out, unfortunately. But when I look back, I noticed like the video qualities were not that great either. But it does not really matter, because like we said earlier in this podcast, you should underline the word as a beginner. That is when you have the most privilege to build your channel, to make a lot of mistakes, to make any sort of quality, bad quality videos as well. Publish as much of them as you want, and people will not care about it. And you want to use that time as best as possible to learn. Afan, thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. Now, if people want to have more look into the stuff that you are doing currently, and the stuff that you did as well, where can they go to?
You can follow me on my YouTube channel, Afan Syed, AFFANSYED. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'll share a lot of insights on Twitter. So that's Afan Syed 321. That's the two major platforms that I spend a lot of time on.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your creation story, Afan. Terima kasih teman-teman karena sudah mendengarkan episode kali ini. Sampai jumpa pada episode berikutnya. Bye-bye.